Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for this Saturday, January 24th, Sunday, January 25th. What a great joy it is to be with you again as we close out this month of January. Don't hardly seem possible, does it? But we're closing out this month now, right here on the 30-minute edition of the Gospel Pulpit. We're heard every week right here on the same station. And let me remind you that many of these stations carry our 15-minute daily radio broadcast. You can go to our website at gbiradio.org and get a full list of all the stations that we're on. Plus, you can get these broadcasts. They're there, the 30-minute and the 15-minute broadcast. You can also listen to them. And also my 5-minute daily broadcast, which is aired on our three stations, called A Call for Revival. You can get these, and I hope they'll be a real blessing to you. A Call for Revival broadcast is interesting because we not only do I preach, but we play some other messages of some other men on it too, dealing with revival. Well, friend, you can also take this time to write me. You can write the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, and that is Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'd be glad to hear from you and know where that you're listening to us from. And please include the call letters of the station when you do write us, if you can, or the general area. And I love you all. I want to pray for you. I want to do what God would have me do on these broadcasts. I want to be the blessing that God would let me be. I just want to say that we work the ministry from the Fall Creek Baptist Church of Jonesville, North Carolina. Brother Don Hudson is our pastor, and we certainly appreciate Pastor Hudson. If you're in our local area, we invite you to any or all of our church services. Our Sunday school is at 10 a.m. Our preaching is 11. Our Sunday night service is at 6 o'clock, and our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock. And we certainly appreciate our church. Amen. We're also affiliated with Tabernacle Baptist Missions International. That is TBMI out of the Tabernacle Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina. Brother Doug Benton, the good pastor. Brother Melvin Aiken. Dr. Aiken is our missions director, and we certainly appreciate him. And the Lord's been good to us. I just thanking God, you know, for a good system just to sit here and record radio on. God has been good to me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate how the Lord has blessed me over the years, and I thank God for the building that we're in. You know, 3 years ago, we didn't even have a building, hardly. We was thinking, what in the world are we going to do? And then God miraculously stepped in, amen, and moved us into this building really 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, we was thinking about it. And then about this time of the year, we was getting ready to close on it. But God was been so good. He's been so good to us, and we thank God for it. Father, I thank you for all your blessings. I pray the Word of God will have free course today. As we go back to this message, I pray you'll use it now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're looking at today, Son-in-Law to the King, message number 33. This is our 453-33, and I hope it's a blessing as you listen. And just push you through. I would hesitate on that. You know, I think things need a little prayer, and I'm not saying drag on 6 months, but I mean, I'm just saying, if a job comes open, and a man says to you, I'll give you this job. The catch to it is you got to take it tomorrow morning. You got to be on the job. Just quit where you are today and walk off your job and be tomorrow. I wouldn't do that. That's poor character. I don't care if they're paying you $20 more an hour than what you're making. It's poor character. Always, if you leave a job, try to give somebody a notice if that's necessary. In some cases, it may not be necessary, but if it's necessary, give somebody a notice. Now, let me say this to you. The world will rush you, buy this car. It's only on sale for today. Or buy this house. I heard about a man, he's buying a house. He said the realtor tried to rush him. Now, I can't give you this deal, but just today, and it fell on a Sunday. It's going to be on a Sunday. I can't give you this deal, but it ends Sunday. And the man said, I'm not buying a house on the Lord's Day. Let me tell you something, brother. That house will be there tomorrow. That car will be there tomorrow. God will give you the best. If you wait on God, He'll give you the very best. I'll give you an illustration. God always does right. God always does. My daddy and mama were poor. They didn't manage their money right, and they owed a lot of bills and had a lot of things, so they didn't have a lot of good credit. They couldn't go out and just buy anything. So we began to live, and I lived at home till I was 40 years old. When I was about, 35, 36 years old, I began to see that we needed to move. In the trailer home where we were living, water was coming in down the wall and everything. And I seen we was going to have to get out of that trailer. We weren't going to stay long. And so we began to inquire. We began to try to think about it. And so there's a man come up to us, and he said this. He said, "I have a nice double-wide trailer home," and he said, "I will sell it to you." And, and so we go down there to look at that home. And that's one of the nicest homes I'd ever been in. Boy, I mean, compared to what I was living in, that was absolutely up the top of the line. And I remember standing in the yard that afternoon, and I prayed about it, and I could get no peace about that double-wide trailer home. I prayed, and I think, "Lord, why? This is such a good place." And God was saying, nope. And by the way, when God does that to you, you need to hold on. You see, the devil tried to rush you into a decision. Well, a few days later, the thing happened that the deal didn't go through the bank, and the lady called me from the bank. Mom and Daddy's working on this deal. And she said, "This deal hasn't went through. It's not going to go through." And I said, "Well, okay." And she said, "But, sir, I need to tell you something." I said, "All right, what is it?" She said, "There is a 10-room home in Rhonda, North Carolina." And she said, "There's a man up there. He's ready to finance that thing himself. He's going to self-finance that home." And I thought, okay, well, what? And I was preaching revival that week. I was pastoring, preaching revival somewhere. And so I went on, and me and Mama decided we'd go look at it on a Saturday morning. I wasn't, I'd already been turned down. Sometimes when you get, turned down one place, you sort of get thinking, well, it ain't never going to work. So that Saturday morning, I'll never forget it. We loaded up and went up there. It was a beautiful Saturday morning in May. And I went in there and got looking around. And boy, I tell you what, that was it. And by the end of the month, we were in that 10-room house. Now, if we could have tucked that mobile home, but God was wanting us in that 10-room house. You understand what I'm saying? And Saul said, "Now you're going to be my son-in-law today. We're going to just rush this thing up. You better watch that rushing stuff. You're going to get in trouble doing that." Amen. All right, now, notice verse number 22. And David apparently here didn't go for that. David, again, behaved himself wisely because sometimes you just have to read in between the lines what the Bible is saying here. Verse number 22, And Saul commanded his servant, saying, "Commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law." Again, David must have balked on it and said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And Saul is trying again to get him in the family, but he's got wrong motives for it, you see. So he said, but now watch this. He commanded his servants to commune with David secretly. Now, I'll just be honest with you, some of this secret stuff, I don't like it. Some men want to operate their lives in secret. They want to do what they do in secret, and nobody ever know what they've done. And what these men forget, and I mean good people do this, I guess sometimes they fall into the fleshly trap of Saul. And I think what believers forget is that there is a judgment seat of Christ. And in that judgment seat, God is going to bring out every manipulation you've ever done, every dirty trick you've ever pulled, every political thing you've ever done, trying to get somebody to do something that or use somebody. God's going to bring all that out. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." The Bible said we're going to give an account for every idle word. Amen. So here's David now. And boy, they're putting the pressure on him to be the king's son-in-law. I mean, they're pressuring him to be the king's son-in-law. Saul is commune with him secretly. Well, then, by the way, the devil never gives up, and neither did Saul, and Saul was acting in the flesh. But the devil never gives up. The flesh never gives up. So if I can't get him one way, I'll get him another way. And by the way, a manipulator won't give up until you just leave him alone. Somebody that's using you, again, just get away from them. They never give up until you just finally leave them alone, amen, or call their hand on it or something, and they realize that they can't manipulate you. You know, a lot of people don't have a lot to do with me because they can't control me. You see, I don't let man control me. I let God control me. Now, I'm in authority under my pastor and under other people that have authority in the realm of the gospel. But I'll tell you this, I'm not going to let a man control me. I'm not going to go to a church where a man tells me how many times I can breathe a day and where I can go and where I can't go. And I'm not going to go to church like that. That is not a church. That's a dictatorship. And I'm not going to do that. Amen. Well, you better call the pastor and ask him, can you do that? I'm not going to do that. Amen. Now, I believe the pastor being authority. I believe in him being over the church. But I don't believe in him being a lord over God's heritage. Amen. Well, I'll move on from that. So now let's notice again. Now, so they're communing with him, and they're trying secretly to get him. So now look at verse number 23. And they finally come up with something. And Saul, but let me say this. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? David said, you know, nobody knows who I am. Now, David could have said, oh, Samuel's anointed me and I'm going to be king. But he kept that a secret. Boy, there's just some things you need to keep in your heart, right? I remember God telling me one day, as clear as anything in the world, that I was going to be a pastor of a certain church. And this is in my young days. And you know what? That church already had a pastor. I didn't hardly tell anybody about that. I was scared to death of it. But you know what? In less than a year, I was pastor of that church. Let me just tell you, friend, God knows how to do things, right? Amen. He sure does. Now, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand. So here's what they're doing. I mean, David, again, is very humble. And David, again, seeming to be a light thing to you. I mean, you know, I'm a poor fella. I mean, David knew who he was. And I think it'd do us all good to remember who we are sometimes. I think it'd do us all good just to stay in our place. You know, the Bible talked about in the New Testament about when you go to a feast, don't be seated in one of the upper rooms. Be seated in the lower room. Then if they call you up, that's good. But, boy, it sure would be a demotion if you're in the top room and they say, hey, buddy, would you move, please, and make room for this guy so he can sit in? Boy, that would be humiliating, right? So we shouldn't think of ourselves in a high position. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't nothing. God's used me to preach, and probably I've reached more people than I'll ever know. I guess I have. But I'll tell you one thing. I ain't nothing. I don't even think I'm a good preacher at all. I really don't think I am. I turn radio on sometimes and listen to me, and I stutter and stammer around and can't half read my scripture. And I don't know why you'd listen to me. But I guess you ain't got nothing better to do, so I appreciate it. But I'm going to say this to you. I just want to do God's service. I don't need a fancy title or a fancy introduction. I don't need that. I just need God. And if I got God, that's all I need. And that's what David did. Now, look at 1 Samuel 18:25. We're talking about son-in-law to the king. And now here's Saul. Now he's come up with another plan. David's balking on him. David's kind of slowing down. David said, wait a minute, man. You don't got to think this. I'm not confident. By the way, I'm going to stop here and say this. Anything in your life that you're not comfortable doing, don't let somebody push you into it. Don't let mom and daddy push you into something you're not comfortable doing. Listen, don't let mom and daddy have the calling of you. I heard a man tell a story. It was a sad story. But this man told a story about, this man served many years on the mission field in a foreign country. And this man said that there was two twin boys. I believe they were twins. They got saved. They might not have been twins, but they're the same family. Two boys got saved. And their daddy was a dentist. And these boys got saved. And they came to the missionary and they said, we believe the Lord's called us to preach. And the daddy said, no, you're not preaching. You're going to follow me into the dentistry. You're going to be a dentist. Now, wait a minute. There's nobody on earth can decide the calling for your life. You know that? I'm not sure altogether if all of my family. My mama prayed for a preacher. I'm not sure my daddy wanted me to be a preacher. If you don't know the truth about it, I think it bothered him a little bit because of, you know, he said the Lord called him to preach, and I think it kind of bothered him a little bit. But I think he was glad I did it, but I think it bothered him a little. But here's the thing about it. Not everybody jumped up and down. They didn't have a parade when I announced my call to preach. But I'll tell you, that was not a decision for my mama. That was not a decision for my daddy. And I wasn't married at the time, but if you're married, that's not a decision for your wife. You say, well, now, preacher, when we got married, I didn't marry a preacher. Well, wait a minute, you don't know what you married. If you're in church, God's got a right to do anything he wants to with your life. You say, well, I didn't marry a preacher. All right, what if God strikes your husband with cancer? Or what if God strikes you with cancer, lady? If you stand in God's way, what if God strikes you and kills you in a year? You say, now, preach. No, that's not preach much. But let me tell you something. You won't stand in God's way. You don't stand in God's way. God's still on the throne. God's still running things. You say, times have changed, and you're right about that, but the Bible has not. And brother, God's still on the throne. Amen? So now Saul comes up with another tactic here. If you can't get him one way, he's going to get him another. And boy, this one did it. Look at verse 25. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies, But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. What a plan. Now, if you can't get him one way, he's come up with another way. I tell you what, don't desire a doubt. Again, he's trying to do what God absolutely ain't going to let happen. Saul just can't get it through his mind that God is not going to let David be king. And Saul knew deep down David was going to be king. But you know what? He said, well, all right. And now this would appeal to David's manly side, his warrior side. And let me tell you, a manipulator knows how to get you. You better be careful. They know how to get you. They know where your weak points are. I think some people study other people's weak points. I don't know, but they know how. You better be careful. The devil's a master manipulator. We got some folk in the Baptist church that's pretty good at it too. Amen. All right, now let me go on here. Look at verse number 26. The Bible said, and when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. In other words, what that means is there was still time to fulfill what Saul had planned. Apparently Saul had put a time limit on David getting these 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Now, buddy, when he said that, David was ready to go to battle. By the way, the Lord looked after David. And even if you've been used, the Lord will look after those who have been used. I've had men that have manipulated me in my life, but God's brought it about to my good. You know, Psalm 23 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And sometimes I think, well, God, just, old Catherine, I don't know how I survived all these years. We've took some darts and hits in the ministry, and the old devil has threw his old darts at us. But mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, Psalm 27:15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. And boy, many times we've been on the bottom here, and many times we've took the hits. But God's always brought us out, and God's always blessed us. So now David's getting ready to go do this. Boy, he's happy now. All right, let's look. Notice verse number 27. Wherefore, David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. All right, now he brought them, in other words, he perfected the job. He brought them in full tale, he perfected the job. Saul wanted 100, David said, I'll give you 200. Now you see, that's the blessing of the Lord, amen? When somebody tries to do you wrong, you just do them right and go beyond what they ask sometimes, amen? Go beyond what somebody, I never forget it, I had some things happen one day and I had a man lay something on me. And the old flesh said, I'm not going to do that. Flesh said, I'll never do that. But I did it. I did it. I didn't have to do it, but I did do it because I want to honor people. And by the way, God honored me for that. Now, I just want to say to you that when you walk with God, if you honor him, now David risked his life here. David, no doubt, risked him and the men's lives that were with him for this. And so David did it. Now, David did this. And David got this girl. All right, so that's okay. And I really believe, at the first, I think Michal was a troubled soul. I mean, we did this back in the introduction of the life of David, but Michal had a horrible life. Just to recap her life, Michal's the youngest daughter of Saul. She's given to David for wife. She didn't live with him too long, and David had to run for his life. Well, Saul went and gave her to another fella. Well, when David was to be king, David said, you're not going to see my face, told Abner, unless you bring Michal, my wife, to me. Well, by that time her sister had died. She had brought up those five kids from Adriel, but she was given to another man. I believe his name was Faltai, if I'm not mistaken. And so Abner busted up that marriage, and he went along crying. Abner made him go home and give her back to David. Well, then later in life, David was avenging the enemies of Saul, and he slew those five kids that she had brought up. So she lost her other husband, her five kids, and then she, when the Ark of the Covenant came back, she didn't like how David was doing, and then the Bible said God judged her and didn't give her a child on the day of her death. Michal had a horrible life. She really did. Some of it she brought on herself, some of it she didn't bring on herself. But I would say this, one thing you can learn from the life of Michal is this, make the best of your circumstances. And when that Ark of the Covenant came back, she should have been praising God, not being bitter. Let me tell you something. My life's not been easy. But I'm not going to sit here and dwell on the bad things in my life. I'm going to dwell on the good stuff. Amen. I have some bad memories growing up. I have some bad things. I could be bitter. But you know what? The day you become bitter, you become no use to God. God can't use bitter things. He uses sweet things. Amen. All right. Now let's go on here. Let's look at 1 Samuel 18:28 and Saul. and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Now, Saul, that didn't work out. So he gives her to David, and then he saw, hey, the Lord's with him. He's not going to perish by the hand of the Philistines. And on top of that, she really loves him. So, I mean, he thought he was, you know, doing something that backfired on him. By the way, you manipulators, it'll backfire on you every time. You people that use me, it'll backfire on you every time. And you better be careful what you do. You say, boy, Brother Cawthon, you're just preaching pretty hard. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. It'll backfire on you every time. And so now God is protecting. By the way, God protects his people. If you really walk with God and you fear the Lord, God will protect you. Some man may tell you, preachers, you know, you may have this said to you, well, I'll ruin you. I'll fix you where you won't preach anywhere. Well, let me say something. There's not a man alive capable of ruining you if God's will is for you. You know what the Bible said in the book of Revelation? He said, the Lord opened the door and no man shut it. And the Lord shut the door and no man opened it. Here in our ministry, we've had over the years some doors that men said couldn't be opened. They opened. And we've had some doors that shut that I thought would be open, I guess. And we've had things happen. It's not been an easy road in the ministry. It's not been an easy road. But I tell you what I've seen. I've seen the provision of God. I've seen the hand of God. I've seen God take care of us in some great ways. I have seen miracles take place in this ministry. I've seen it. Amen. I've seen it. And I've told you about some of this, how God takes care of his own. I shared this story the other day with somebody, and I've shared this with you in other messages. I'll share it here on the air with you. In the ministry, we bought a radio station many years ago. We was going to buy a station, so we went to the bank to get part of the loan. We'd raised part of the money. We'd raised about $50,000. And we had some complications closing the deal on the other party, and so the bank called me up, and they said to me, Mr. Cawthon, you're gonna have to hurry, and they said if you don't close this loan, and we're gonna have to pull the loan, so I didn't know what to do. I sat down in the floor, in the hallway, in the floor. Maybe it's in what was my wife's, I don't think it was my wife's office at that time, but later it was my wife's office. I believe it was that room. I sat down on the floor. And I sat down. Now, you talk about a grown man crying. And I told Christy, I said, my ministry is over. And I said, I, some of these people give money. I don't know where to send it back to them at. So the deal was, I went down to the house, and I made a phone call. And the Lord wasn't in that phone call. And that phone call told me to call somebody else. And the Lord said, don't you call that person. And I'd pick the phone up and start to call or get ready to. And the Holy Ghost said, don't do that. Don't call that person. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden the Lord said, I want you to call the president of that bank. And I thought, Lord, the president? I thought, this ain't never going to work. And so I told my wife, I said, get on your computer there and find a number to the bank. God wants me to talk to the president. And she looked in there, and she said, Ricky, do you realize how many numbers are connected with this bank? And I said, well, at this point, don't matter. I said, just pick one. And she picked the number. I called the number. And I said, I need to speak to the president of the bank. And I was surprised. The lady said, hold, please. And all of a sudden, the secretary came on, the president's secretary. I never forget it. As long as I live, I'll never forget that little lady named Brooke. Amen. I never forget that name. As long as I live, little lady on the line named Brooke came on the line. And she said, my name's Brooke. Said, I'm the president's secretary. Said, could I help you? I said, yeah, I need to talk with him. She said, well, he's in a meeting right now. Said, he's in a meeting. And said, but when he gets through, you can talk to him. I said, I'm curious. Said, could I help you? Is there something I could do? So I went ahead and told her the story. I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, sir, said, you don't need the president. She said, I'll have you help by 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, I said, okay. 10 o'clock sharp, the next morning I get this phone call from one of the high-ups in the bank, and he said, sir, you take all the time you need. We don't pull loans out from under customers. Now, brother, you say what you want to say, but that is God taking care of a ministry. Amen. We have owned and operated that radio station. We owned and operated that. We have owned and operated that for years. That is God taking care. Let me tell you, but I'm telling you, God took care of David in the middle of Saul's manipulation. Now, look at verse number 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And that's going to pick up now. I mean, Saul just couldn't help himself. His jealousy and his envy toward David getting the throne, he became David's enemy continually. Now, I want to tell you something. Wouldn't you hate to have to... Now, I believe, again, Saul was a saved man. I think Saul was out of the will of God. I believe you'll see Saul in heaven. But wouldn't you hate to think that you lived your whole life being an enemy to somebody. You know, there's a lot of people live their whole life being an enemy to the church. Oh, they're saved, but they've caused their church all kind of trouble. They've caused preachers to have to leave the church. They've caused ministries to have to close down. Wouldn't you hate to be an enemy to God like that? Wouldn't you hate to have to stand before God for playing silly little games and hurting people, hurting people's lives? And some daddies and mamas manipulate their kids. They can't even live a marital life for the mom and daddy manipulating the kid. Wouldn't you hate to stand before God that way? Saul could have thought, well, if I get David in my family, I can control him. But that didn't work out that way. Now, I want to close in verse number 30. And this is a little bit different, but I put it in this message here to close this chapter out. The Bible said, then, this is after that, then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Now, here's what happened. I believe that he riled those Philistines up. When he went over there and killed those 200 men, he got them stirred up. And yet David behaved himself wise. You know what he did? He finished the job. He went out and he fit for Saul. He behaved himself wise and more than all the servants of Saul. That means that some of the servants of Saul probably wasn't doing what was right. And to be honest with you, living in that day, Saul wasn't doing right, so it probably had a trickle-down effect to his servants. Some of his servants probably tried to cheat and cut corners. But you know what David did? He behaved himself wisely. And the Bible said that his name was much set by. Do you see what God was doing? He was getting David ready for the throne. David's name, but God gave David the name. God made his name great. David even said that. God said, I've given thee a name like the great men of the earth. Can I say to you preachers, if God wants you to have a name, he'll give it to you. You know, if we ain't careful in our young ministry, we will think we got to work for a name and recognition. Oh, if I could just get known. Listen, friend, you've got the right. And it took me years and years to realize that is the wrong philosophy in the ministry. You don't need to get known. You don't have to. When God wants to exalt you, preachers, he'll put you there. God told me one day, I was praying, and the Holy Ghost said to me, son, if I can set a tornado down somewhere, anywhere I want to, I can put you where you need to be. And I want you to know that God can put you anywhere you need to be. He can put you there. And so I tell you again today, you be in the will of God. And the best way to be in the will of God tomorrow is to be in the will of God today. Just do God's will today. And if you do God's will today, chances are you'll be doing God's will tomorrow. Now, David could have got out of the will of God. David could have jumped the gun. David could have said, Samuel's already anointed me to be king. David would have lost his life. But David behaved himself wisely. He stayed with the course. He endured a lot of stuff. By the way, David's life wasn't a picnic and a cherry pie and a bowl of banana pudding. David had some things happen. Somebody said, we want our young people, we want them to have it as hard as we did. You know, you don't know a lot about your Bible when you make a statement like that. Because if you read David, David had a hard youth. I mean, his own family didn't care enough about him. They're over there doing whatever they want to do, and he's out there doing the work, bringing in the income for the family. And then when he gets to the palace, you know, but actually he probably thinks things are going to be easy. When he gets to the palace, things are worse than it was over there. At least over there out in the fields, there wasn't nobody throwing javelins at him. But David had a great name. God began to make David's name. By the way, a good name. He said his name was much set by. I'll tell you young people something. This is something my mama taught me. You ought to always have a good name. When people look at you, I never forget this one time. There's a man came to Ronda, North Carolina, looking for me. And he stopped by a man's house, and this man's passed away now, but he stopped by a man's house. There was a man lived in Ronda, North Carolina, and his name was... Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, January 24th, Sunday, January the 25th. It's been a great joy to be with you. Lord willing, we'll start the month of February together next week. I hope you'll be with us on these same stations, all right? For a full list of all the stations we're on, feel free to look at our website. For a copy of today's message, it is free of charge. Just write for it, put today's date on there. Or if you want to email to you, email us comments@gbiradio.org. Until next week, I'm Brother Ricky Cothran saying goodbye. God bless you is my prayer. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.